Okay, we're ready?
Let's begin our discussion of a topic that really we could spend a few shiurim on, but we'll have to just squeeze it into today. Again, this will be the last shiur for this man. B'ezras Hashem, those will be back next year. B'ezras Hashem, we'll pick up with other halachic topics, B'ezras Hashem, that we did not do this year, and we'll continue. But today is a topic that I could tell you, I did not learn any of this in yeshiva when I went for all my... And I went to wonderful educational institutions, but I did not learn Hilchos Shabbos, right, in my 12 years of elementary school, high school. Until I had to teach it in YU, I didn't really learn Hilchos Shabbos well. So it's my chisaron. It's my, okay, many people say, okay, my wife will know. You know, that can't be the answer. That can't be the answer. We have to know Hilchos Shabbos, and nowadays there's no excuse because there are so many books and svarim and Hebrew and English and any language you want about every topic, however you want it. You want a sefer on Hilchos Shabbos by Malacha, you want it by topic, you want it by room in the house, you want it, no matter what it is. So let's just try to get to one of the most common food on Shabbos, and that's, of course, chalent. Some of the halachic issues that come up regarding preparing, making, eating a little bit. Let's see how far we could get. And it'll touch on many issues that, again, are very large topics, but we'll just try to focus on a little bit of little chalent issues. Okay, and then we'll... this does not have to do... Somebody asked me before, Rebbe, is this... has to do with the chalent shilas? I once had a... that there are three types of shilas that a rabbi gets. Number one are the chalent shilas. Rabbi, my chalent is burning. I'm having 25 people over for lunch. What do I do? How do I save it? Those are called the shilas. You have to have the answer right away. Chalent shilas. So that's not about it. The other two are, number two are the overnight shilas. That's most shilas the rabbi gets. I put the milchik fork into the hamburger, into the this, and I did this, and I do have to tovel this. And that's generally like the second type, the overnight shilas. And then the third type are the overarching shilas. I've got the exact word. The shilas that most rabbis have to know that are, it's above them. And they have to ask their rabbis, the few Yechidei Skula, the brain death shilas, and the maybe some fertility shilas, and whatever, shilas that one has to be in the know. So those are the three types. So the first type of the chalent shilas, tonight we're not talking about the category chalent shilas, we're talking about the actual chalent shilas. And let's just get into the basics. So first of all, the Ramah quotes in Shulchan Aruch that one should have hot food on Shabbos. One might say, you know what, Rabbi, it's too complicated, I'm just going to have deli and coleslaw. You know, and challah and al shalom al yisrael, I'm not getting into any... No! If somebody does that, the Ramah quotes, if somebody doesn't need to have any hot food on Shabbos ever, you have to be choshish there, and that maybe they're a kofar. Kofar. Be a kofar. The Ramah says in source number one, well, mitzvah lahat min b'Shabbos. It's a mitzvah to insulate. We'll get to that. Warm up food on Shabbos. Kedesh yochol chamin b'Shabbos. Kizel mi kavod v'oneg Shabbos. It's part of kavod and oneg. V'chol mi sheino mamin b'divrei hachamim. V'ozer achilas chamin b'Shabbos. If somebody doesn't believe in the words of the rabbis and they forbid it, right? It doesn't mean that somebody just doesn't have it. If somebody forbids eating hot food on Shabbos, chayshinon shema apikorisu. Yichoshis des apikoris. It's quoting from the Ran, the Balamor in Shabbos. Why? Why? Because the tzukim took the words of the Torah literally, as we know. And the Pasuk says in Vayakel, Lo savaru eish b'chomo shoseichem b'yom HaShabbos. This is explained by the Piskei Tshuvos in source number two. Do not light a fire in your house on Shabbos. So we know that means, Lo savaru, do not light. That's one of the 39 malachas. That's the only one of the 39 malachas that's written explicitly in the Torah. And there's a machlokas tanaim in Psachim and elsewhere. Why is that? Is that to tell us something about all malachas, or is that telling me something about lighting fire? Okay, lolav yatzos l'chali yatzos. But that's not our topic. But what does it say? Don't light fire. So the tzdukim say it doesn't only mean lo savar weish, it means that there shouldn't be fire lit in your house on Shabbos. If they don't have any fire, and they spend their whole day sitting in their house staring at their tzitzis, or isem or so, right? And they, you know, there's a chutzah, but... Says the Piskei Tshuva, say the Mefarshim, they Rishonim, if somebody refuses to have hot food on Shabbos, Chayshin and Shem Apikarisu. Right? They're not Apikaris. And therefore, they did not like any light, any fire. So we dafka have hot food on Shabbos. And that is the Minog Yisrael. That is the Minog Yisrael that we have, and that's what's source number three. V'chein Minog Lecho B'lol Shabbos Maracham Hatsup V'atsholen Shumachal Chaviv Yoter Mashiyon L'sudas Hayom. You leave it for the day. Kavod Yom Adif. That's a separate halacha, that if you have a choice, the day meal is more important than the night meal. But some have Friday night, Tomei Chaim Zachu. Okay, whatever one does, it is one should follow. Obviously, the Piskei Teshuvos quotes in Source 5 from the Chafetz Chaim that if it's not healthy, if a doctor tells a person you can't eat this because it's greasy, because it's whatever, so I know, Kavod Shabbos. No, it's okay. We have to also have the balance of health, but either way, this is the background. We should have hot food on Shabbos. Fine. So I want to make a challenge. So what do I have to worry about? What do I have to think about? What do I have to think about in the preparation of the challenge? Hopefully we'll get to in terms of the eating of the challenge. In the preparation of the challenge, three worlds. Each one of them is crucial, and they're very big topics, but we'll just relate them to challenge. And that is the world of Bishul D'Rabbanan. Bishul D'Rabbanan, three areas of Bishul D'Rabbanan. What we call Shehiya, Hachzara, and Hatmana. Those are the three worlds of Bishul D'Rabbanan. Meaning if something is totally cooked before Shabbos, so I can't cook it. If it's already cooked before Shabbos, I can't violate anything on Shabbos. So what's there to talk about? I cooked it before Shabbos. How much did I cook before Shabbos? Okay, but there is, if I cooked it before Shabbos, there's no Bishul D'Araisa. We're not getting into issues of Bishul Acha Bishul right now. But there are three worlds of Isuri D'Rabbanan that Chazal created, and that's what one has to worry about when one puts up a challenge, which most people, we're going to focus on putting up a challenge, nowadays put it in crock pots. You put it into the, right, the insert, you put it in, you put it inside the metal electric heating unit, and it sits there. So what do I have to worry, what do I have to know about when I prepare? So number one is Shehiya. The Mishnah tells us in the beginning of the third parak of Shabbos, parakira, as it's called. So the first Mishnah in source number six, Kira Sheisiku Bakashu Bukvava. The Mishnah talks about different types of ovens. There are three types of ovens in the Talmud. Kira, Kupach, and Tanur. Tanur is the hottest. Kira, which is spoken about in source number six, the Kira, it was heated with certain types of straw and stubble, certain types of wood. You could put a pot on top of this Kira. But if it's heated with other types of materials, like wood, not straw, straw is going to be burned up in a second, but wood or gefes is the is peels of the olives, I think. Lo yitain, then there's some limit that you can't put a pot on the oven, ache yigrof, until you sweep out whatever heating material is there, or ache yitain sefer, you put cold ashes on it to cool it down. What is going on here? What is this referring to? It says lo yitain. So when is lo yitain? What is that referring to? So that is a machlokes in the Gemara. Without getting into the details, whether this is talking about on Shabbos or before Shabbos, machlokas tanoim. But for our purposes, let's just focus on Rashi. What does Rashi say here? Why are you not allowed to put something on a fire that's cooked, let's say? You know, what's the issue? You're not cooking, it's cooked already. Says Rashi, the famous three words, the important three words, source number seven, Shem Yechate Begechalim. There are certain situations where we are nervous that if I put a pot, even before Shabbos, that's Shehiya. Shehiya means placing it before Shabbos. If I place something in a certain way before Shabbos, even though on a Torah level I'm not doing anything wrong, it's cooked already, I'm nervous that I might on Shabbos come and want to heat it up more, want to cook it more, and I might come to stoke the coals. Yechate b'gecholam. You ever had a campfire? Sometimes you play with it with the branch so that the fire gets bigger. So that is why also on Shabbos, in certain situations called Shehiya, I can't leave something on the fire before Shabbos because once Shabbos comes, I might forget and adjust the flame, and that would be a malacha of Havara, lighting a fire, maybe cooking it more. But that is the sugya of Shema Yechate B'Gecholam. That is the reason for Shehiya. certain limitations. Again, we'll get to the details right now, but certain limitations of lighting of leading food on a flame before Shabbos, even if it's fully cooked. And there's no Bishul D'Araisa, still, because I'm nervous that I might come to stoke the coals. And therefore, I have to do something. What do I have to do? I have to do what's called Garif Fakatum. In the Gemara, it was Garif, sweep out the wood so you don't do anything with it. Or Katum means cover it with the cold ashes. What's the purpose of that? The Rashba explains there. Because if I did something to remind me that it's Shabbos, then it's okay. Then it's okay, because I'm not going to come forget and to adjust the flame, because I'm going to remember that it is Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, according to one understanding of the Gemara, that even before Shabbos, you can't leave something on the fire. Major machlokes tanaim. What are we talking about here? How cooked is the food? How cooked is the food that I can't leave on an open fire until I do something like covering the flame? Garif Hakatan. That's the machlokes between Hananya and the Rabbanan. Hananya and the Rabbanan. Hananya says in source number 9, one something is the next daf in Shabbos. Hananya Omer, Kol Shu Kamachol Ben Drusoi, Mutu L'Shahosu Agabi Kira. Hananya says, one something is cooked enough for Ma'achol Ben Drusoi. Remember what that means? Ben Drusoi was a bandit in the days of the Gemara. He never ate relaxed. He was always on the run. So he always had to eat on the run. So it was only a third or a half cooked. Machlokas Rashi Rambam. About whether it's a third or a half, but either basically means edible. Says Hananya, once food is edible, then you can leave it on an open flame before Shabbos. There's no issue of shehiyah. Because I assume once it's edible, I'm not going to adjust. It's already edible. I'm not nervous that I'm going to adjust the flame, because I can eat it right now. That's the sheet of Hananya. Once something is edible, so then I don't have to do anything before Shabbos. I can leave it on an open fire. Okay, there's no bishul. I'm not putting it on the fire on Shabbos. I leave it there. And when on Shabbos, I take it off and I eat it. That's Hananya, right? Leave it on open flame. So according to Hananya, basically almost all of our challahs, so ones you put up right before, are edible before, when Shabbos starts. So if that's true, according to Hananya, for shehiyah purposes, you don't have to do anything to your crock pot. Just put it in. Put the insert in. That's it. But the Rabbanan argue. The Rabbanan say, no, no, no. The Rabbanan hold, I didn't give it to you in the Gemara. The Rabbanan say, even if it's edible, you still have to cover. You still have to do something to the flame. As long as it's even up till Mavusha called Sarcho, even if it's fully cooked, as long as it's getting better as it's on the fire, you still have to cover it. Right, there are three levels. There's edible, fully cooked. But even if something's fully cooked, if you leave it on the fire overnight, it gets even better. That's called mitztamek v'yafelo. If it's mitztamek v'yafelo, according to Rabbanan, it has to be covered. Because you're still nervous that you might come to stoke. You might come to adjust the flame. That is the machlokas between the Hananya and the Rabbanan about shehiyah. About leaving things on the flame before Shabbos. What do we paskin? What do we paskin? Shulchan Aruch? Two opinions. Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions in Reish Nun Gimel Sif Aleph. It's a long sif. I just gave you part of it. The first sif, the first lines of source number 10. Avalim nisbashel ktasvon nisbashel kol tzarcho. If it's not fully cooked, afilu nisbashel kol tzarcho b'mistamik v'yafalo. It still gets better. Chayshinan shem yechate. We're nervous that I might adjust v'yosir lahashoso aleha, and I cannot leave it on an open flame before Shabbos. Elim kein garaf, unless I swept out okatam or I covered the coals to remind me. That's the shita of the Rabbanan. The Yeshomrim, Shakol Shenisbachol Machol Ben Drusoi, as long as it is edible, it's a third or a half cooked, then you're okay. Right? Or if it's another called Tzorchov, Zaviyabal, Vachulu, Mutter Lashosal Gabikira, then it is Mutter. And the Ramah quotes, Nagu Lahaka Kasvara Achrona. The Ramah quotes, the Minog is to be makeable like the second svara, like the Hananya, Me'ikar Adin, like Hananya. The Bir Halacha there, source number 12, says, the Minag is Lahachmir. The Minag is Lahachmir. It's a question how to understand the language of the Rush. The Rush in Masechet Shabbos on that Gemara says, leave Klal Yisrael alone. They love their food, and they don't cover their fire. So is that like a L'chadchila Lashon? Hanach Lahem Li Yisrael. Leave him alone, it's fine, that's the Halacha. or leave them alone, they're not going to listen, but really, you should cover. That's the question. It's Machlokas Achronim, how to understand that line of the Rush, of Hanach Lehem LeYisrael. So the Mishnah Brura and the Chazon Ish and others all assume that Lechadchila, we should go like the Rabbanan. And that is why, for Shehiyah purposes, meaning even if you have no plans to take your Chalant out and want to put it back on Shabbos, which we'll get to, Be'ez Hashem, soon, you just want to put the Chalant in before Shabbos, and then, on Shabbos, take it out and serve it. Meaning the only issue here is Shehiyah, how you leave it on. Lechadchila, we try to cover like the Rabbanan, which means if you have an insert, you have to take tinfoil and line the whole inside with tinfoil to make it into a covered flame, right? Because the whole inside, even the sides, have the heating element. The whole thing gets hot and it heats. So that is why you have to line the whole inside, and Rav Aaron Kotler adds, the knobs. Because how do you adjust nowadays? The knobs, you don't touch the inside. There are those that say, you only have to cover the knobs, not the inside. But most poskim say, you're right, you don't adjust anything inside, but still, the halacha was to cover the fire. So even though you don't adjust anything by the metal inside, you're going to burn yourself, still, we cover the inside, we cover the knob, that is lechadchila. Okay, that is all shehiyah, and again, this applies to anything that you want to put on an open flame before Shabbos, but we're focusing on Chalant in this year. Yeah.
You're covering between the insert.
Between the insert and the metal piece that plugs into the wall. Right. You put lined the whole thing with tinfoil, with the tinfoil sticking out a little bit, so it'll remind you that's the hecker, that it's Shabbos, and also a little thing of tinfoil. Usually, most of the time, it falls off, so what we do is we have like another, besides the lined inside, you have like a line. So like you put it inside and you like hang it over, so then it covers the knobs that way. Because if you just have it covering the knobs, sometimes it'll fall off. But whatever you do. Yeah?
Could a chalent bag count as the
cover? No. A chalent bag is inside the insert. It has to be outside the insert.
No, but it's covering the food, which is covering the bag.
No, it's not. It's just that's it's all part of the pot. You have to have a separation between the pot and the flame. The bag is not a pot. Yes? Yeah?
She is all rabbinical. Why
not
be
makel? You're not makel by every drabbanan. It's not a suffix here. It's a machlokas. We're not a suffix. We're it's a machlokas, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions. The Shulchan Aruch probably passes like the first opinion, because whenever he quotes one in the Yesh Omrim, he goes like the first one. But it's still not clear. They say, we're not sure what the Rush meant that the Rama is based on, so we're machmer lechadchila. Me'ikar adin chananya. Me'ikar adin chananya, and therefore, I think I mentioned this before, but there's a Prima Gadim at the Bir Halacha quotes. The Prima Gadim says, this relates to last week's shiur about the Kibbutz of Aim. Prima Gadim says, if on Shabbos there's a shita out there that says something, b'di'evit you can eat the food. So even if you go to somebody's house and they're not doing anything that you think is halachic, as long as you know the food is kosher, but if they're relying on something, you can eat the food. That's an important Prima Gadim to know.
Is that any Urid now, or Dafka Shabbos?
He says in Hilchos Shabbos. In Hilchos Shabbos, yeah.
I've seen some people put like tinfoil balls on the bottom. Is that
okay, we didn't get there yet. We didn't get there yet. So far this was Shehiyah. Next, Hachzara, the second of three issues. The second world of Bishul D'Rabbanan, Hachzara. Hachzara means returning something to a fire on Shabbos. So this is based on the Gemara, but we'll just get to the Lomaskana. One is not allowed, in certain cases, to put food on a flame on Shabbos. So Shehiyah was before Shabbos. Now Hachzara, on Shabbos. Why? Hachzara, generally, we assume, is not... I mean, some Rishonim say it's also about the worry about adjusting, but most Rishonim say, if you look back in source number 7, back on the Mishnah, Rashi says, why can't you put stuff on the flame on Shabbos? Merci, Kimevashel. It looks like cooking. Putting something on a fire on Shabbos looks like cooking. Even if it's fully cooked, then you're not cooking. It looks like cooking. That's Bishul D'Rabbanan. And therefore, we're not allowed to put things on a flame on Shabbos. How could one ever like take some chalent and then put it back? The five conditions of Achzara. That's this sugya. The five conditions of Achzara, all mentioned in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch in source number 13. Right? Two of those conditions are non-negotiable. Non-negotiable. If you don't have these two conditions, there's no way to put it back. One of them is lechadchila, and two of them are five lechadchila. We want to get all five. So what are the five conditions? Number one, it has to be fully cooked. Number one, the food has to be fully cooked. If it's not fully cooked, then you're getting into bishul d'oraisa issues, not bishul d'rabanan. Meaning, let's say my chalent is not fully cooked yet. Let's say I added in some barley an hour before Shabbat. It's not fully cooked yet. You cannot take that off the fire and then put it back on the fire. That's bishul d'oraisa. Because you take it off the fire, it's not going to get cooked, and now it's going to get cooked on the flame. So it has to be fully cooked. That's number one. The only way to return something. You know, even let me go back a step for a second. Hachzara, the issue of hachzara is, I'll tell you the lumdis, and then we'll get to the five conditions. You're not allowed to do what's called in halacha a nesina lechadchila, to put something on a fire on Shabbos. If you could view it as a hachzara, as a return, then it's mutter. These five conditions make it viewed as a return. You can return food to a fire on Shabbos. You can't put food on a flame lechadchila. So if it's called a nesina lechadchila, that's a problem. These five conditions make it considered hachzara, returning it to a flame. So number one, it's got to be fully cooked. If it's not fully cooked, there's nothing to talk about. Number two, has to be a covered flame. You can't put anything ever on an open flame on Shabbos. In the olden days, they had blechs. Hot plates, major machlokes, is that called a covered flame? Is that called even better than a covered flame? Rabbi Mordechai Wuller called it even better than a covered flame. There's no knobs, you just plug it in. But it has to be whatever on a covered fire. Or a pot on top of a pot, whatever. You can't put anything directly on an open fire. That's number two. So those two are non-negotiable. If you don't have a covered fire and it's not fully cooked, there's nothing to talk about. Number three. The Shulchan Aruch says, still got to be a little warm. Can't be what's called Nitztanim Legamre. Shulchan Aruch says this. In source number 13, they're all here. Right, the last line, in mitztanin l'kuli am aser. If it's cold, well, you can't. Let's say you took out the chalant and you're surfing it, and it's still going to be warm. It does not be as hot as it was on there, but as long as it's still warm, then it is okay. The Mishnah Berurah says, as long as it's not totally room temperature. Right, the Mishnah Berurah, the end of 15, nogu l'hake l'mon mitztanin l'gamri. As long as it's not totally cold, that you can put back. That's also, if it's cold also, I don't think that's, maker it did not negotiable. The last two are negotiable. Negotiable means b'di'evit. B'di'evit. What is that? Number one, meaning number four, ode b'yado. Ode b'yado. You have to keep your hand on it. Right, you might see sometimes when these big camps, like you have people serving challah, you have one guy just standing there with his hand on the handle. What's he doing there? This halacha. Ode b'yado. You have to keep it in your hand, and then it could be called a hachzara. Meaning, if you're not holding it anymore, you just put it down, so then it is a problem. The language of the Gemara is putting it on the ground. Right? If you put it on the ground, the language of the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch quotes, you can't put it on the ground, but that would be a Hesach Hadas. But the language of the Ramah is Biyado. Not only don't put it on the ground, but you have to have it in your hand. And I have to hold it in the air. So Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in source 16, even if you put it down on the counter, as long as you hold the handle, you're okay. That's called biyada. That prevents a hesach hadas. Right, you're still holding it. You're going to put it back. That's why it's called a hachazar. Right, that's what the Rav Moshe was asking in 16. Nick de'er agav b'karka v'danu ochez. Even if you put it on the ground, but if you're holding it, that's mutter. That's mutter. So that's number four. So again, fully cooked, covered fire, still warm. I mean, not totally cold. Ode biyado, five, daito lahachzir. You have in mind to put it back. Daito lahachzir. Positive intention. Right, there's... What happens if somebody took it off and they're lying? What if the person took it off and they, a lot of details on this, and they thought they were going to not serve it again? It's like, no, I wanted to serve it again. Like, that's betoas, that's okay. Four and five, bidieved, if you're missing one, it's okay. Mishnah Berurah says, missing one of them, it's okay. Meaning if you had das to put it back, even if you're not holding it anymore. Or if you're holding it, even if you were going to, that's okay. If you're missing both, it's harder. you're missing both 4 and 5. You didn't have a mind to put it back. You're not holding it. That's trickier to put back. So that is what the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkatan Nun Vav. And the Bir Halacha says this too. So this is these are the five conditions. So if you want to have Chalant, fine. You have to line the inside because of Shia and HaChazara, by the way. Because even if you hold by Chananya, I'm a Chananya guy. It's already Machlo Ben Josai. But if you're going to want to take it out on Shabbos and put it back in, it's got to be lined for HaChazara purposes. It's got to be a covered fire. So you got to line the whole inside for HaChazara purposes. So you got to have these five conditions. Take it out. Sometimes you need two people then to do the chalant. Issues. So that's really what is the five conditions. There is, just to know, we generally don't rely on this. But it's important to know because, you know, like we said, if there's a shita out there that says it. So this is a Ramah. It's a Ramah quoting the Ran. The Ramah quotes the Ran in source number 13. Back then, source number 13. Maybe, again, it's a huge kula. It's a huge kula, but again, Yishmiya, some people have the Masorah to do this. And that is, the only time you need the conditions of Achazara is if the food was not on the fire when Shabbos started. Meaning if it was in the fridge when Shabbos started, and then you want to take it out, that's a problem. But if it was on the fire when Shabbos started, right? Even if you put it in the fridge afterwards, you could put it back on. Rick, you take anything from the and put it on the blech. Nowadays, nobody has blechs. But I remember growing up, we had a blech. You know, that the metal thing over the flames. So can you take something out and put it on the blech from the fridge? Generally not. Right? Because that's hachazara from the fridge. If you see anybody do this, if it's liquid, then that's a problem. That's bishul achar bishul. But if it's solid, unless you're a temani. But if it's solid, so then it's you have this ran that's quoted in the Ramah. It's quoted in the Ramah, so you should just be aware of that. We generally don't. You still need a covered fire, and you still need fully cooked. But the other ones, you know, one would be a makel on. So that's shehia and that's hachazara. We did 2 out of 3. Yeah. Question, could you move it to a different pot? You can move it to a different pot. Let's say, like, you used half of it, you want to put it into a smaller pot. You would be able to.
And then you can reheat that.
As long as the biyado, right, I guess if you have biyado on the first pot, and then you hold the second pot as you're transferring it, you would be able to. You can't put other food. Just this food is going back. Right, this food. Right. Also, again, there's many other permutations for these shilohs. We're just doing the basics. What happens, I remember it happened, what happens if, let's say, there's a blackout and your fire goes out and you want to move it to, let's say, your neighbor? You'll have to take your chalent pot that has been sitting off of a fire now to your neighbor's hot plate. You'll have to do that.
She has power,
man. Yeah, they have power.
Isn't it a halacha that you have to keep it on the same fire?
No, you do not have to keep it on the same fire. There's no halacha like that. So in that case, there wasn't das to remove it. And it's not biyado, so we assume as long as it's still warm, you can move it. You can move it to another covered fire. Another covered fire. Okay. That's hachzara. Next, hatmana. The third. Shehi is before Shabbos. Hachzara is putting it on Shabbos. Now we get to hatmana, which means insulation. Insulation. There's an isser of insulating an item before and on Shabbos. This applies to both. The Gemara talks about, right? The Aruch HaShulchan explains what hatmana is. Sha'acher, Shehishu, Alakhira. Well, what did they do? Especially in the days of old. Didn't they light fires on Shabbos? You made something boiling hot before Shabbos. Then you would wrap it in towels and wrap it in blankets to keep it hot overnight for later. That's hatmana, insulation. So the Rabbanan said, you were nervous. If you insulate something, is it on a heat source? Is it not on a heat source? It's a question about that. So one is not allowed to fully insulate something before Shabbos and on Shabbos. There are different details, right? There are two types. There's what's called in halacha, mosif hevel, eno mosif hevel. Right, let's see, let's read the 18. She'achar sheishu al hakiri, after you cook something, natzu akadera misham, you take the pot off, it's mino osa, but darama mosiv en hebel. You wrap it in something that adds heat. Either the item adds heat, or you put it on fire, that's adding heat. L'chazek choman, o ina mosiv en hebel. Or that doesn't add heat, it's just to keep the heat in. Okay, so this is the issue of hatmana, and what's the reason for hatmana? So again, it's a question. Pashto shema yachata. Right, because you might come to stoke, if it's on a davar hamosif hevel, you might come to stoke the fire in order to, you know, keep the insulation going even more. There are a number of rules for the Isser of Hatzmana. Again, Hatzmana, we could have a whole shiur on, but I'm just going to, again, but there's a lot more here. Number one, Hatzmana applies even for something that's fully cooked. Right, source 20, Afilu Tavshash and Esbasha called Tzarcho. Also, lahat min b'shabbos. Even something that's mavusha called sarcho. The Shulchan Aruch also says, insulation, hatmana, is only if there is no air space between the wrapping and the pot. If there is space, that's not hatmana. Sometimes people have these, like, Shabbos covers that you put on the food on the hot plate. But the Shabbos cover, that's not hatmana. There's plenty of air space. It's not, like, wrapped tightly. It's not like you take a pot and wrap it in a towel. As long as there's airspace, right? If you leave stuff, let's say some people turn off their oven right before Shabbos. They make it high, they leave the food in the oven, they turn it off before Shabbos. Ah, hatmana! No, there's plenty of air. There can't be any space between the pot and the insulating element. No airspace. So no airspace, even mavusha called tzarcho. And let's just get to our point, and then I'll take questions. You need it to be completely surrounded. It can't be any space, any part that's not surrounded. It can't be any part that's not surrounded. The Rama says in Reish Nun Gimel in 22, if it's wrapped up only on the sides and open on top, that's not hatmana. That's not hatmana. Right, Yeshua Mafilo Makdir Omed Zagabesh Mamish. They used to put the pots in the coals. Like if they're burning hot coals on the ground, you put the pot in the coals. So the Rama says, if you put it in the coals, if the top is open, there's no coals on top, then it's winter. It's not Atmana. That's the Rama's case. Right? Kozmachi Magul Lamalo Mikri Atmana Vishari Vachena Mina. So we come to the crock pot. The crock pot. So I'm sorry, you don't have the Rosh Shlomo Zalman psak. There's a letter that he gave, the last letter that he gave a psak on right before he died. I didn't give it because I took this from the computer, and it's not on the computer, it was on my paper at home. Anyway, but Rosh Shlomo Zalman psak. So what the Rama says, so what's the issue? What's the potential issue? You have your insert, and you put the insert into the metal outside. Is that hatmana? Because it's surrounded. So, oh, you might say there's a little bit of airspace because the insert is a little conical. Right? It goes inside a little bit. Poskim don't think that's such a good. There's no airspace there. You can't see that airspace. The Magul Lamala means it's nikar, that it's not covered. The pashtus is that there's no problem of hatmana by a crock pot. And that's what many poskim say. Because Rav Vosner and Rav Moshe, because Magul Lamala. Because the top of the crock pot is not covered. You have the cover of the pot, but that doesn't count. That has to be covered. You have to cover the whole pot. But if Shlomo Zalman, Psak, Shlomo Zalman says, this is the normal way of cooking. The Ramaz Magul Lamala was because you leave it a little bit open on top, because normally you would insulate the whole thing. You would cover the whole thing, but if you leave it a bit open, that shows that it's not cooking normally, and that's going to remind you that it's not Shabbos. But if this is the normal way to cook, that you surround it on all sides, even if the top's not covered, it's hatmana. That's the chumra of Rav Shlomo Zalman. The end of his life. Because of that, you got to prevent the hatmana. So you line the inside of the crock pot. Fine, that's good for shahiyah for chazara, but hatmana doesn't really help. So that's why, what you mentioned before, you put something, in the letter it was like you put like a crushed up tuna can. I don't know, that's going to be like too high. It's like not going to, so most people, who are machmer for this, maker adin, you might not have to be machmer because it's mulul lamala. But if you're machmer for it, you, people roll up like balls of tinfoil. And you put it on the bottom so it raises it a little bit. So if it's raised a little bit, you don't want to raise it so much because then it's not going to cook well and it's not going to be hot and you're going to get sick. So you raise it enough that you see it's like a little cockeyed. It's a little like bumpy and it's there's a little airspace there. As long as there's a little airspace there, you're good. It's not hatman. That's the psak of Rav Shlomo Zalman. That issue. So you put a couple of pebbles on the bottom. After a couple of weeks, you know, the tinfoil gets, you know, if you leave it in there, it gets crushed and it doesn't make a difference. So to put in new tinfoil or put in a couple of rocks. But that is all issues of Bishol, Shehiya, Hachzara, Hatman. Just two other quick points about Chalant, that not about the cooking. So one is, generally doesn't come up, but it comes up, I guess, for yeshiva guys. Most of the time we eat Chalant during the meal, so we're not making a separate bracha. But what if you eat it on Thursday night at midnight, right? What if you eat it, if you're one of these Hamish guys that eat Shalant every day of the week, right? So what bracha do you make on Shalant? What bracha do you make on Shalant? So we know the rules are, you see at the end, Iker v'tafel. So you usually make a bracha on the Iker. So what's the Iker? What's the Iker? So almost all Shalants have barley. So barley, as we know, mizonos is never bata. So you got to make a mizonos. If it's all mush and you can't identify anything, then it's just mizonos, depending on the chalant. But most of the time, you could identify meat, potatoes. So it depends on you. Like certain hilchos brachos, ikar v'tavel depends on you. You have to make a mizonos. If an important part of your chalant experience are the potatoes, is the meat, then you got to make a couple more brachos. You make three brachas. Mizonos, Adam, and Shahakal. It all depends on your eating. No matter how much shalant you eat, you will not wash. It is not pasa baba kisnin. Right? It's a tavshil. That's number one. Number two, the other point to mention, this is not on your sheet, maybe two other things quickly to mention. One is the sugi of magus. Okay, we don't have time to go into that now, but just to mention magus. What's magus? Stirring. Let's say I don't want to eat any chalant, I just want to like stir it. The Kolbo, one of the Rishonim, is quoted by all the poskim. The Kolbo says, don't stir while food is on the fire. Right? Even if I want to just stir it. Got to take it off, meaning make sure it's, you have to cover it, make sure it's covered, you can put it back, and only stir it when it's off. Why? If it's not mevushal kol tzarcho, if it's not fully cooked, then for sure it could be a problem of Bishul Daraisa, because what's stirring? I move around food to like closer to the fire, further from the fire. So if something is not fully cooked, Magus could be Bishul Daraisa. But let's say it's fully cooked. If it's fully cooked, there's still this Kolbo. We're not sure exactly why he says it, but that's what we hold. L'chadchila, one shouldn't stir anything while it is on a flame, even a covered fire. And so you want to stir the chalant, so then you take it off, and you mix it, and then you put it back on. That's number one, magus. Again, a big topic, just to mention. But others, what about putting chalant on your plate? Anything to worry about as you eat chalant?
Scooping
is like mixing. Because when you scoop, things move around there, and they go from further away to closer in. So l'chadchili, you should take it off, even if you're just scooping.
Isn't that a sakana, because you might like kind of put it back on?
What's sakana? As long as you have a covered fire. To note, there is something called a kli rishon, kli sheni, kli shlishi. So one would say, when the crock pot is a kli rishon, your spoon or your ladle might be a kli sheni, and you put it on the plate as a kli shlishi. What's there to worry about? Kli shlishi doesn't cook. But there is some achronim in Yerideya that say, dover gush is mevashel even on a kli sheni. What does that mean? You have a solid item. A solid item retains its heat. If you have hot soup, you put it into three bowls, okay, that's a kli shlishi. Because then it's cooled by the walls of the bowl. But if you have a potato that's dense, you have something that's solid, so there are some poskim, there's a taz, marshal, that even on a plate, it retains its status as a kli rishon, as long as it's still yatso ledespo, as long as it's still hot. So therefore, you know, in our house, you try to have mechitzas on your plate. Right? If you can have some coleslaw and some salad, which haven't been cooked yet, you got to put the piece of kugel in between, because the chalant might like run and drip and slide over, if it's still boiling hot, and it could be that it's going to cook the coleslaw. And the so, again, Rosh Shlomo Zalman is Mekel. He says, it's all Mekalkel and Misasek, and you have no Kavana for it, and don't worry about it. But it's something to think about. Something to think about. L'chadchila, don't pour the chalent directly onto your salad, you know, while it's burning hot. Yeah?
Wouldn't the only problem with that be if one of the solid parts, if like the parts that's running the liquid?
So I'm saying, but it could be that might be, you're right, yes, if it's a solid, but it could be that it's coming, solid parts in there that's sliding with, so that's what, but yeah, the liquid itself, you know, would not be an issue, because if it would be, if you rely on, let's say it this way, if you rely on Rav Moshe, which not everybody relies on, but most Min HaGolem is, you know, one of those Rav Moshe tshuvas that changed that the whole world relies on. But okay. And each of these are very big topics, but we just touched on it for chalent issues. Yeah.
Chalent's very liquidy. I mean, there's a lot of.
Yeah. If it's all liquid, then it's not a davar gush. Then it's then you wouldn't have to worry about this. Bishal achar bishal is a separate topic, but if it's liquidy, it's liquidy. But I mean, what's bishal achar bishal to like take it out and put it back on and. No, this bishal achar bishal is a separate topic. Maybe we'll talk about that. Yeah.
So putting if I take the ladle, put the chalent like a serving dish, and then put it on the table, then there's no problem at all in the plates.
Then the sir, again, if it's still yatzel lettuce bow, this chumra of davar gush could apply in 5 kalim. But most of the time, you know, if, right now I'm saying if it's solid, you know, no matter what kli it's on. But that's another kula, right? It's a kli shlishi and, you know, a bunch of kalim. Okay, we'll stop here. Hashem.